Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill, and after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the show. We are on episode 48, which means we are just two episodes away from the 50th episode of Be All You Are. And in a minute, I'm going to share something special that I want to invite you to in celebration of my 50th episode. Before we dive into today's show, which is an interview with a very special guest, I want to share a couple of things with you. The first thing is that I have created for you a secret podcast series called Three Pivotal Points to Your Next Chapter of Soul-Fulfilling Success. So this podcast series is for you if you are self-identifying as a purpose-driven professional woman who really is dreaming of doing more fulfilling work and making a greater impact by using your greatest gifts. And maybe you're at the stage of life where it feels like it might be too late or that there's too much to lose by you transitioning to something new. If that sounds like you, if that resonates, you definitely want to listen to this podcast series. I basically break out in three less than 20-minute episodes, how to really claim what it is that you want. And instead of letting it linger in the back of your mind or tug at your heart every now and then, I want you to write it down and bring it to the forefront and admit and acknowledge what it is that you want. And if you are not sure what that is, this episode is also going to help you dive into that because sometimes we need to start with what we don't want. Then I'm going to walk you through how to overcome obstacles to that vision. So the reason why we often stop ourselves before we start is because we have this long list of reasons of why we can't create the life and work that we want. And I'm going to, in the second episode, walk you through one by one all the main fears that we have and help you to see how you can work your way through them, all in honor of what your heart and soul really wants to do. And in the last episode, I'm going to give you a bit of a pep talk on why it's not too late and how to make time to start planting the seeds towards what you want to do next and how to put together a plan to actually make this happen, not just in theory, but within the constraints of your life, right? You're busy and have a lot going on, and I'm going to help you figure that out. So if this sounds like something that would support you on your journey, serve as inspiration for where you want to go next, which I believe it will, then you can scroll down to the show notes right now, or you can go to allyouare.ca/soul-fulfilling-success. But that link again is in the show notes. And if you pop in there, put in your email address, you will immediately get access to the three podcast episodes that are not currently published. So these are sort of a secret resource that I've created just for you. So that's the first thing I wanted to share with you. The second thing is in relation to my 50th podcast episode that will be coming up in just a few weeks. We are already on episode 48. I want to invite you to this beautiful virtual event that I'm hosting with two of my very first podcast guests. And that is Catherine Choi, the founder of So Young, and Alyssa Kerbel, the founder of Mini Miosh and now the Kind Human Club, 1 year after my initial conversations with them. So they were both, they're both dear friends. They were both on my podcast right at the beginning. And it's been 1 year later. And so I wanted to have this fun conversation about where life can go in just 1 year if we are open to possibility and if we make intentional soul-aligned choices. So it's going to be a really fun conversation to hear their before and after stories or their 1 year later stories. And also, I want to invite you on this call to, first of all, ask questions, have the conversation with us, get involved, but also think about what do you want your 1 year later story to be? You know, I thought of this idea because often in the movies, they'll tell the story up to a certain point, and that at a pivotal point, they'll pause it and then they'll say 1 year later and they'll show what has happened to the characters in the movie. You know, maybe they've opened a restaurant or maybe they've moved to Europe or whatever it is, and all within a beautiful year. So come join us for this virtual chat. You can register at allyouare.ca/1-year-later. Link is also in the show notes. It is next Tuesday, April 23rd for an hour and a half on Zoom. So please come join us. It's going to be a whole bunch of women together talking about possibility and laughing about our fears and having some really real talk about what it takes to make things happen in your life, and especially at this stage of life. So join me for that on April 23rd, which is next Tuesday, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you there. All right, now on to today's episode. I have a very special guest for you today, and her name is Andrea Crockett, and she was actually a client in my group program, Be All You Are. So I've shared details of that program on the podcast before. It is a transformative group experience for women who are approaching or in midlife and who are really looking to step into all they are, to find that next level of success in their work and their life. And Andrea was a client in my program, I think maybe just over a year ago now. And I always stay in close touch with my clients. They often become friends. And Andrea's story is truly incredible, from where she began to what she's doing now. I think that you will really relate to her story and be inspired by her journey and inspired by what she's doing now. It's quite incredible. I know I am inspired myself. So without further ado, let's dive in and chat with Andrea. Welcome, Andrea, to the podcast.
Hi, Kana. Thank you so much for having me here.
I'm so happy to have you. And, you know, this is a really different kind of conversation for me on the podcast because, you know, oftentimes I interview guests that I, you know, either know from a different world or that I'm inviting on for a specific expertise. And what I love about having this conversation with you is that you were in one of my group programs, Be All You Are. I think one of like the first few times that I did it. So quite early on, it's evolved since then. But I have been so inspired by your story and your evolution and just the journey that you've been on from the time we met to now. And so I had to have you on to have this conversation with you.
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's been a wonderful transition, such a, like from A to B, such a big spread. And Yeah, thanks to you. Here I am.
Okay, well, let's start from the beginning, and then we'll sort of lead our listeners through to the transformation that you went through and where you are on your journey today. But maybe we could just start with sharing your journey to joining the group, or even having an interest in joining a group program like Be All You Are. Where were you in your life at that time?
Yeah. So at that time, I was an engineer. I'm an engineer, and I was doing project engineering. I was actually working as vice president for program management for a medical devices company. And so very, very busy. You know, I'd been at that point in my career where it was building really well. And yeah, I just, you know, I was like, as we all know, you go through your career, you're busy, you're, you know, you're gaining success, but you just have that feeling that there's something missing, right? There's something, some connection that's not happening. And I had had that all the way through my career. And I was actually lucky. I had a lot of variety in my career as well. I have an engineering background, but I also have a business background. So I would go kind of back and forth between engineering and business and bring the two together. But there was just always this piece that I couldn't put my finger on. So, you know, there I was like, okay, I should be happy with where I am. So, but I just, there was always this something missing, always like a bit of anxiety around it. And so I remember I bought a bathrobe. I bought the world's best bathrobe online. Mainland, love my bathrobe. And I guess as, you know, part of buying it, I was put on a newsletter. And to be honest, usually I unsubscribe from those, like, you know, a polite Canadian month or two later, I pull myself off of it. For whatever reason, I didn't. And so, you know, it would come through and I guess I probably deleted it a lot. But then at some point I realized, like, you know, whoever this woman is, she's transitioning from, you know, these wonderful robes to, you know, this transformational coaching business. And it would, you know, the your subjects would catch my eye and I go, oh, that looks interesting. Probably still delete it. And then eventually I just remember bit by bit, those subject lines really called out to me, right? It was like they were speaking to me with what you were saying, right? Like you're at this point in your life where on paper, everything looks great. You know, you've arrived, you've done all the right things, but there's just this thing that's missing and you can't quite figure it out. And so I, you know, Sunday mornings, I would start reading the newsletter. And to be honest, at that point in my life, the idea of, you know, coaching, life coaching, anything like that was like such woo-woo to me. I would never, right? Like I'd done therapy and believed in that, but coaching, well, no. But it was just because of what you were saying, you know, what you were talking about. It was like, this is me. This is where I am. So then when you launched your first course, I kind of was like, oh, that, okay, but no, I'm not. No. And then when I think it was maybe the second, I think I was in your second or third cohort maybe, but when that kind of came through, I had hit this point in my life where it was just like, I couldn't ignore it anymore, you know, what was happening in my life and my call for change. And that like what you were doing was put in front of me. I was at a point where, unfortunately, the company I worked for ran out of money and dismissed me. I was going through a separation. I was going through empty nest with my son having gone to university. I was living in a Stark condo that I just absolutely despised. And, you know, I was still pushing forward, right? I was looking for more work. I was trying to, you know, okay, just keep going. That's what we do. And, but, you know, refusing to stop and take pause. But this part of me was, you know, was there whispering, and then your newsletter was in front of me. So I signed up for the class. And I have to say, like, it was really difficult at the beginning. Like there was this, from the get-go, working with you and the community of women that were there were so welcoming and wonderful. But the difficulty for me was, when we started talking about what are our dreams? What do we want? What do we like? I had no idea. And I realized I had never had an idea, right, from being a young girl. As an example, like the reason I became an engineer was like, I was lucky. I was a music teacher. I worked for Yamaha Music School. I was student council president.
I didn't know that. Oh, we were both student council presidents. I love that. I love that. I love that. But I didn't know about the music part.
Yeah, I have this, like, you know, it was always this artistic draw in me. Yeah. And I, you know, enjoyed drama in high school as well.
Yeah.
But I also did really well in math and science. Mm-hmm. I was a good student. And I remember when it was time to, you know, pick your university program. My eldest sister, I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know what I want to do. Like, none at all. And she said, well, you're good at math and science, so take engineering. And I'm like, okay, I'll get a good job. And, you know, off I went.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm glad I did. It was a great career. I've done really well. And fortunately, as I mentioned earlier, I took a program where I did both engineering and business. So it was a good combination for me. But, you know, especially in those beginning days of doing the work with you and the other women, I would be so frozen and stuck because I had no idea. Like, I had never had an idea of what it is I like and what I want to do. And I actually remember when we had the one-on-one calls together, I would kind of delay them because I would be like, I haven't done my homework. Like, I don't have the answer yet. I don't know what I want to do. So that was really, you know, kind of what was going on at that point.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting too, Andrea? It's as if that was the first time you had given yourself space to ask that question. Right? So there's not only discomfort in having to answer it, but even actually pausing to say, what do I want to do?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. We don't take the time often to do that. Or even if we do kind of have a pause going, you know, it's, and I remember actually taking this approach and it was really good, but I think it's easier for us to say what we don't like and what we don't want to do. That's so we do have those moments in our lives when we can go, I don't like this. I don't like that. I want to do something else, but I don't know what. And then it's too uncomfortable. So you move on, right? You pass through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we share where your journey went from there, which I'm excited to do, can you tell me if you had any hesitations about joining the program and when you were having that conversation with yourself in your head, like, oh, I could never do this. This isn't my thing to like, oh, I'm kind of interested and I'm leaning in a little bit more. And maybe I'm reading the newsletters to maybe I should actually do this. What was that process like for you?
It was a long process. As I mentioned, like, I was interested from your first cohort, and it took me like that whole time until you started talking about your second for me to kind of work my way through it and into it. It wasn't a shoo-in. I think a lot of it was because of where I was in my life that I was kind of, you know, the universe kind of said, that's it. You like time out. You're going to sit on the bench and you don't want to think about this. We're not going to let you run anymore. Right. Oh, I forgot to mention this. I literally, cause when you met me, I had a health issue and I couldn't wear shoes. Right? I couldn't go outside. And it was
you were
a
literally
winter.
Benched. You were literally by the universe told, go sit on that bench and without shoes, by the way.
Exactly. I forgot that, but it's like the best thing. So I think it was because I had to sit still and I had to, you know, start facing these things. Like, is this really what I want to do? Can I do other things? How would I do it? And then, you know, with your, you know, your newsletters right there in front of me and some part of me went, this is there for a reason. You know, you can't ignore it. And it's not as like, is it there? She's like, when I read your newsletters, it was like you were talking to me. It's like, this has to be. And then in terms of the investment, especially given that I wasn't employed and all of that, right? There's a whole like, what am I doing? And I think finally I just went, I have to do something. Like, I can't, you know, sitting here, I'm listening to all the podcasts I possibly can, reading all the books, doing all the reflection, all of the journaling. It's not getting me through. And I just finally said, this is here for a reason, and I'm going to invest in myself. Which, like, that was such a huge decision, like, on multiple levels, but just started to feel right. And I think I remember, I'm not sure whether I joined one of your workshops before or whether it was early in working with you. The great thing that you said is that, you know, our investment in ourselves shows up in our calendars and in our bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I heard that, going, oh, like, but it's so true, right? Yeah. Especially as women, we just don't invest the time. We'll let other people take our time. We'll, you know, dedicate it to work and family and friends and all those other things. Then likewise, we don't spend on ourselves. We'll, you know, get our hair done, get clothes, things like that. But in terms of investing in our improvements, like in our emotional improvements, and just we really are hesitant to do that. So I think that was like a final like piece of like, this is the right thing. You have to do this.
Oh, I love hearing this story because I know where it goes from there. So I just think it's so incredible to think about how there's certain decisions that we make. And when we make them, we don't know exactly what it's going to open up for us, right? Like, we don't know the path. We don't know how it's going to, that next sign or that next step is going to appear. But it's just trusting, like, that part of you that trusted, you need this now. This is the time. And the part of you that said yes to yourself, that opened the door for so much more. And so I want to move into that so much more. So I'm going to let you tell the story of how you started down this very new, very different path to the work you're doing now. I'll let you tell that story because I love hearing it.
Okay. You're a big part of it in many ways. So I think at some point I watched the Netflix series, How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. So this is about psychedelics. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then maybe I watched another one about fungi. I'm like, oh, cool, right? And then, you know, I was doing your class and I remember at some point you mentioned, it was very much casually off the cuff, you mentioned that you had done a psychedelic journey and how transformative it was for you. And that if anyone were interested, you know, contact you outside. And it was just like I remember when the call ended, like just like looking down and going, wow, I can't, like, okay, I have to. And at that time, I mean, I'm so square. Like, I never didn't even do. I think I had a boyfriend in high school who smoked weed, and I tried it once and was like, I don't know, it didn't do anything. Like,
not for me, yeah.
Right? Not for me. And it was just like, I had no experience, no, like, aside from the interest in watching the Netflix series, like, no, like, inclination to do this. I was very much outside my comfort zone. But again, I think partially because, like, yeah, I kind of identify with you, right?
So yeah. Yeah,
very similar stories here. This isn't so crazy. So I reached out to you and you connected me with Odette Laurie, who you spoke with about a month ago.
On the podcast, that's right.
Yeah, like just, and she's amazing, right? And I began working with her as my psychedelic integration coach. It was just, had my first ceremony, had my first experience. And it was so transformative on a number of ways. You know, on the first level, I was in this place where I was refusing to admit that I was depressed. I had had depression in the past and it was really bad back then. And I'm like, I'm not there, so I'm not depressed. Things aren't great, but I'm managing. And after my first ceremony, it was like, oh, okay, I was depressed. I felt the depression was gone. It was just totally gone. And, you know, my life, nothing had changed in my life. And it's not like I suddenly saw everything through rose-colored glasses. I could still see the challenges in front of me and didn't have answers to them. But my perspective had changed, and the way I felt about it had changed. So that was like the first gift. It was like, you know, as people, when they get through depression, describe, like, it's like the fog lifted. And I was like, okay, right? Then the second amazing thing was during my first ceremony, I spent all of my time thinking about other people in my life. So my loved ones, my family, my friends, people I work with. I remember you were there. Like, it was, and it was this thinking about, you know, thinking about them, where they were, what I thought they were, their challenges were, how, I guess the part I can play in their lives, right? Like, how I help them, or did they need my help? Like, it was just, most of the time was spent going through this. And so, you know, as I kind of, the days went on afterwards, I kind of realized how significant that was, you know, on multiple levels. But it, you know, told a lot about me. But really, it made me remember that there was a point in my early 30s where I had had this kind of, I don't know, I'm going to call it a third year or a third life crisis. And that was when I started therapy for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, this is what I would have liked to do. Like, I think I really would have been good at this. Like, wow, it was just really like clicking with me. And then quickly went, I'm sure that's what everyone who does therapy thinks.
Interesting.
Oh, I'd like to do this.
Yeah.
But more so like, oh, I can't change my career now. Like, here I am. I, you know, I'm not going to go back to school and, you know, study psychology or something, you know, spend years at school. So I shut it down pretty quickly. But then after that first ceremony, I realized, okay, there's something there. Like, that was real. That makes me feel like I'm connected to me. Mm-hmm. So then as I continued working with him, Dad, you know, went back and forth and did more ceremonies, it became more and more clear that that indeed was, you know, the what fed my soul. I am very connected with people. I do have this, you know, I don't know, innate connection and intuition with people, and I care. Mm-hmm. And it was this, you know, something I wanted to do. So I remember thinking, okay, well, do I go back to school, or what is the quickest way to get into this field? And then eventually it was clear as day, because I kind of, it was like a full circle looking around and going, how did I get here? How was I finally waking up? And it was because of the psychedelic therapy that I was working, that I was doing. So at that point, I realized, okay, this is, you know, here I am, I'm 50, right? This is all being laid out in front of me for a reason. Mm-hmm. I can help people. I can, you know, it, just as it has helped me, this is what I want to do. And there we went. That was the new beginning.
Oh my God, Andrea. I mean, clearly I've heard the story, but I'm all ears now listening to you, because it was just on so many levels. The idea that you realized you were depressed, but only after the fact, which to me, it's like, you know, you're telling your story, but it is the story of so many women. That's the thing I think that's really resonating. And it's right. The story of just hunkering down and like telling yourself you're fine, and, you know, telling yourself you're okay when you don't really feel okay. And then if anything, asking yourself, what's wrong with you? Why don't you feel okay? You know, when there is something real there, right? There's like this sense of like, you know, turning almost like this, getting used to turning your back on yourself and turning back your back on who you are and what it is that you want so much, to the point that it's so hard to see. And then the way it manifests is in this like deep sadness that, you know, we call depression, but it's like really us not walking and living in our truth that is there, but it's like so pushed down. And I mean, I think the story of how you got into engineering and like Yay. I mean, the fact that you are so good at math and science, I could never have been an engineer. That is where we differ, Andrea. An engineer. And I love that you did that. But at the same time, thinking about the path that led you there, right? Oh, you're good at this. And it would lead you to a great job, which is, I think a lot of people do choose careers that way. To this point in your life where your inner voice is telling you there is more for you, right? And it all began with you just being willing to say, okay, I'm open to seeing where this leads me because I don't want to stay where I am.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it. You know, it was a big push to get there, right? It was like, you know, challenge after challenge, like stacked on top of each other. And then, yes, this depression, like, as you so well described, like, you know, when we're depressed, it's like a disconnection with who we truly are. That's what causes so much of the depression. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to finally say, okay, enough, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk into this and have no idea what's next, where this is going to go. You know, I thought I would slightly tweak my career.
I know, right?
No idea where it would all lead. But that is such an essential part of, you know, I guess the reckoning, right, of coming through, you know, spending a lifetime doing all the right things. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't, right? But you know, doing all those right things and then kind of knowing your path, like you're off your path. You don't want to be where you want to be, but like saying, oh, I can't go back there. I can't go look. I can't, you know, it's too late now. Mm-hmm. Right. I can retire. I can just do this another 5 years or so. And then I could retire and then I could do whatever, like all the things. But
Oh, wow. It's so incredible, Andrea. And honestly, I have to acknowledge you and honor you for that willingness to explore and then also to not just explore, but to be open to that complete identity shift, right? Because although you have described in your 30s having that thought for a moment, it's like when you have reached a certain stage and you have a reputation and you have had these titles and you know you're an engineer and worked in a male-dominated industry and all these things, it's like you have this persona built up around yourself. And it can be scary to let that go in order to step into something new because it's almost like a loss. Even if it wasn't completely aligned with who you are, it's still losing a sense of that identity.
Yes, absolutely. And that is how we, you know, we put so much on that identity to carry us forward through the world, right? And we do get so connected with it, right? That's why, especially with job loss, it can be so challenging when someone loses their job because it's like that big chunk of their identity is ripped away.
Yeah.
And they're suddenly left feeling kind of naked, right? Like, well, then what am I? If I'm not this, then what am I?
Yeah.
So.
That's so true.
I wanted to mention, I have to say, like in line with that, being an engineer, that's a significant thing because it is an identity thing. Yeah. And I remember in one ceremony in particular, I decided I needed to take off my ring and like put it aside it was like a literal, I need to take this part of me and park it over here so that I can see what else I really am. And, It was quite transformational to have to like literally separate from that part of me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because I do think we don't all have a ring or whatever it is to symbolize that letting go of who we were. But it almost brings up this this thought or idea that there could be a way to do that, a way to like you took off your ring, but there could be other ways. It's like maybe putting away your button down shirts if you worked in finance and, you know, whatever it is, but like something to be like, you know, let this go. This represents the old identity. And what can I now bring in? You know, I think that for anyone who's going through a transition, I think there's some real symbolism in that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Absolutely. Right. Like, yeah, put down the button down or that favorite briefcase or whatever it is that you carry, like put it away and walk into what the big unknown of what you want to do.
Yeah. Andrea, as we're talking, something is coming up for me because I feel like what holds a lot of people back from making small or big transitions is this fear of what other people will think. Because as much as you created your own identity, you also have, there's also how other people see you, right? So it's like how your past colleagues would see you and your family and your close friends. And for a lot of people, that can almost be an obstacle in and of itself. It's like, even if I'm ready to make a change, the other people around me are concerned about how they're going to react, or what if they don't believe in what I'm doing, or what if they aren't encouraging. So I would love to hear a little bit about how you have navigated that so far.
Yeah, that is such a great point. And in some ways, it's more challenging, and I hope we'll talk about this, like it's more challenging than the fear of, can I make a go of this? Will I be good at it? That it was like the moving away from the identity that I was and who they know me as to this thing that's very different. In my case, it's very, very different.
Yeah.
Right. And it is one of the more challenging things we have to do. And I think I actually spent a lot of time, like it has taken me most of a year to, you know, work through that myself and work through that with relationships, right? So having, you know, a couple people who I shared it with and they're like, oh, okay. And then getting that, I can tell they're like, oh, that's interesting, but I know they love me and they support me. So it's like, okay, a little bit of confidence, right? It really was like stepping just, you know, little steps, then bigger steps until finally it was, okay, I need to, it's almost like you gain the confidence as you go, right? From walking away from the identity that you were into this new one, and you know, kind of working around your circle of contacts or people in your life. And then the steps can get bigger and bigger until finally, like for me, it was like, and Odette was critical in helping me with this. It's like, you need to step in. You need to tell people. You need to be open about what you're doing, because it's not just about them. It's about me accepting me, right? And I think for a lot of us, that is it. It's not really, I mean, we think in our minds like, oh no, what's Kena going to say if I tell her that, you know, I'm leaving banking and going into whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's about us. It's about our own fear and not embracing our change and who we really are. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, bit by bit, and then you kind of go, oh, wait, this is really about me. And I just have to, you know, put on who I really am and walk into it.
Yeah, I love that, because I mean, that's the truth, right? That is, it's like you are facing yourself again every time you're facing someone else that is seeing you in a new way. And it's like, that's your practice in standing behind that. That's sort of how I think of it. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And did you have anyone who in your life who was like, what are you doing, Andrea?
There are a few. Yeah. There are a few. There's a lot of moments where I feel like they're tolerating me. But again, it's like, right? You know, they love me. They'll support me. And I have this like, just like trust of, okay, I know what I'm doing feels right to me. I know that it's aligned with me. I know why I'm doing it.
I think that is what people need to hear, because it's okay if people don't like fully get it or fully support you, right? Like you can love them for where they are, and you can have that trust in yourself, and that's it, the end, right? You don't have to convince them. You don't have to try to like get them to see what you see. You can just respect where they are and continue on your own path.
Exactly. Yeah. So well said. The convincing part, that was the old Andrea had, like, I had to have all this information, all this data and all the reasoning and rationale to be able to tell someone else what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so then a lot of the times I just didn't, or if I didn't have a convincing story or, you know, argument, I would just back away. But yeah, it's not about the convincing. It's just owning it.
Yeah.
Walking into it.
Yeah. So now that you have made this transition, Andrea, to doing this work, which I think is amazing, and I'm here for it, and I support you in every way, I am curious what sort of new challenges, or, you know, if there are any challenges that you find yourself facing as you let that identity go, embrace a new way, a new path forward. What are some of the challenges? Because I think sometimes I tend to focus a lot on wanting women to take those steps towards who they're meant to be and to like be willing to explore that and to see greater possibilities. And I think I probably spend less time sometimes on what it actually takes to do that, right? And so I want to start like really being more honest and being more transparent about that side of things, right? Because it's not all butterflies and roses just because you've found your thing. And so I would love to hear how that journey has been for you.
Yeah, that's a really great, that's a really great aspect to cover off because it's important, right? And so it's great. You realize, okay, this is what I want to do. And, you know, I need to, for my own happiness, I need to step into this. There's a few key things that I found really important. Actually, the first one was, you know, justifying the investment for education, right? That is a significant part, right? You can't just, you just don't walk into this work, right? There's lots of training that has to happen. And that's, you know, significant investment. So there was, you know, that financial piece. And then at the same point, you know, you're not pulling in revenue, you're not pulling in income for a period of time, right? So having that like kind of, you know, landing of, okay, is this really what I want to do? You know, an interesting story for me is actually during this process, when I was almost kind of like maybe a third of the way through, I'd, you know, pretty much gone down the path. Someone called me out of the blue with a job opportunity. And it was someone who was retiring and it was my dream job. It pulled together all of my skills and abilities and like the technical, like the engineering aspect, the business aspect, the working with people aspect and interest in an industry I was interested in. And I went through the process and I thought, okay, you know what? This is in front of me for a reason. So it's either there because I should take this job or because it's testing me to see, you know, can I do this? So that was like quite the seminal moment. And I went through the process and it was finally kind of woke up and realized, no, this is not me. Like it became clear as day that I, you know, it doesn't resonate with me, right? I, you know, I basically had to call my friend back and say, you know, I am so sorry to do this at such a late point in this process, but I don't have it in me to fulfill this role. And he said, oh, I know you can do it. I'm like, no, I know I can do it.
Yeah, let me. I can actually do it.
That's right. It was that, like, I don't have the energy, the drive, the desire to continue this way.
Yeah.
And really what it came to was, I love working. I want to be able to continue working into my 70s.
Yeah.
Hopefully not full time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to continue working and realizing I can't do that role, right? I can't continue on that old career path, that old Andrea for as long as there's an end to it. I've run out of steam. I've run out of energy. So it was like this gift, a very hard one, but so I need to keep moving forward on this other path. And then also that realization of, wait, when I'm spending money, when I'm investing in a course, when I'm knowing that I'm not getting income quite yet, it is basically like, this is my future retirement. This is what I'm working on. I'm trying to build a future for myself again, because I do want to work Like, I want to be happily working and contributing well into this later stage of my life. And this is what I'm building right now. Yeah. So for me, that was like such a key realization, such a key thing to drive me forward when I have those doubts, or when, you know, I'm like, okay, when am I going to get more business, right? When does this start to make financial sense? Mm-hmm. It's like doing this for the long term.
Yes.
Going to time out if you kept on your other path. And this is for your, like, my heart, my soul, my spirit, but also for my financial security into my older age.
I think that is so extremely powerful. And I don't think I've heard it said in that way. And I'm so glad that you did, because I'm definitely going to use that. Because you know what? You're absolutely right. A lot of women who don't love their careers are just, as you said, like hanging on to, like, okay, in 5 years, I'll be out of here and I'll retire. And then what? Right? Because, okay, then you stop doing that work that you didn't like. But is that what you really want? Like, you want something that is fulfilling and that is, as you said, your heart and spirit are engaged with what it is. And for you to be able to see that this period of time is an investment in really the rest of your life, right? In terms of like your legacy and what you are here to do. I think that is so important, because I think what happens otherwise is we get so scared at the short-term, the short-term panic, right? Of like, well, I can't disrupt this and I have to pay for that. And that takes over, but we're not looking at this whole life that is still ahead of us and who we want to be in that life and what we want to create and the impact we want to have, you know?
Exactly. For the long run, for the long term.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's amazing, honestly. I wanted to ask you, Andrea, since that time that you have been through the program and then, you know, experienced your own plant medicine journeys, has how you connect to your inner voice and to your intuition changed?
Absolutely. Yes. I shouldn't say totally tuned in. I'm totally into tuning in, into being open when I hear the intuition, right? When there's that feeling, you know, somewhere in your body. Often for me, it's like my stomach, my chest, my throat. Like when you get the flutters or the, you know, sometimes I'll get this funny cough because I'm not speaking my truth. The universe is pretty like blunt with me. There's no hidden messages. It's like you're coughing because you're not speaking your truth.
Yeah.
But it really has totally changed. Like I pay attention to myself now. And before I was not connected with my body. I would tune out a lot of the intuition. I am very blessed with a lot of intuition, but I would dismiss so much of it because it didn't align with what was in front of me or what I needed to do next, right? Yeah. It was like, oh, no, or, well, that's random. Like, you don't know that, but it's like just more of a tuning in and acceptance of, you know, what I'm hearing and what, you know, the observation skills that I have and how that all ties together, right? And how that really is my inner person, the inner Andrea saying, this is for you, or follow this because it's for you. So there's something here, right? There's something here to follow. So,
yeah. And do you find that you have certain practices, or even as you're working with clients now, as a guide, are there certain practices that you suggest or invite them to bring into their own lives to nurture that conversation with their intuition?
Yeah, everyone is different. Mm-hmm. I think, the first thing is getting people to tune into their bodies, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's, I spent 25 years having anxiety every morning and just like ignoring it and going, well, get to work because it goes away once you start working. Right? But,
yeah.
you know, getting people to tune into whatever that their thing is, whether it's, you know, I get a headache every time I have an encounter with this person, or, you know, whatever, the flutters, the cramps, the all those things, like, actually don't disregard them. Like, pay attention. Yeah. If you have to write them down and think about them later, write them down and think, what's happening when I had that?
And what is so good. There's so much wisdom in that. And it makes me think too about the times, like when you even describe the cough that you get, I feel like I get this choking sensation almost. Like, it's almost like my voice is getting cut off. And it's true. For me, it's because I'm not saying what I really want to say, you know? So, yeah, so tuning into that. But, and even when you said that you woke up with anxiety, what's crazy is that there are people, even now, but definitely 20 or 30 years ago, but even now, there are people who would be like, well, go see your doctor and you could take some anti-anxiety medicine for that, you know? And again, not to say that there's absolutely anything wrong with, using that path as part of your support, but without questioning where is it coming from, you're missing something huge there, right? Like, you're missing the root of it.
Exactly. We're drowning it out, right? It's our bodies are telling us, what we need and what's right for us. And in some cases, like, it's important, even if you do need to deal with it, you know, with medication or whatever, but to know that, okay, there's something there, right? There's something in alignment with me. My body's telling me something.
Yeah. And to honor that and respect it rather than feeling like your body is doing something against you. In a lot of cases, and again, not all cases, and I'm definitely not a doctor or psychiatrist, but I think in a lot of cases, especially for women, it is about something that we are not tuning into or not expressing. And there's something, there's a wisdom there that's already within the body.
Yes, perfect. A wisdom there. The wisdom is in our bodies. We have it within us.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about psychedelic medicine, psychedelic therapy, is that that's what we're tapping into, right? So for a lot of us, right, that layer of, our conscious mind, the psychedelics help us get past that and get through to our subconscious, where that inner wisdom is there. We know all the answers. They're all there inside of us. And it's letting us, access and work with them.
It really is incredible. I mean, obviously you have gone so much deeper into this work than I may have been the one to bring you deeper into it, but you have gone and gone even deeper. But it's still amazing to me the power of plant medicine and really how incredibly transformative it can be for people,
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point, Andrea, is that you are now doing this work and supporting people on this journey of self-discovery and tapping into their own inner wisdom. How can people get in touch with you or connect with you if they're interested in learning more about it?
Yeah, for sure. They can reach out to me. Probably the easiest way is on Instagram. I'm InnerLodestar, so they can check me out and send me a message. My website is almost ready to come out, but it's InnerLodestar.com. So that will have information on how to connect and have a work together.
So Andrea, I wanted to ask you the final question, which I ask all my guests on the podcast, and that is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Oh, that is such a big question. I think from my own lessons, my own journey, it's a lot of saying yes, a lot of, listening, like we were just saying, listening to your body, listening to your heart, to your soul, being curious, right? If you're, in a lot of our moments, it's usually we have some level of fear, right? When we're having anxiety, there's a lot of fear about that. And if we can turn that fear into curiosity, right? Like, well, what would happen with if, you know, what would happen if I tried this? Mm-hmm. Right. And the rationale of, well, I can try it. If I don't like it, I've tried it and I didn't like it, and I can try something else. Mm-hmm. Right? Like having that more curious, open mind really allows you to step into being all you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know that there's an end to knowing all you are, right? It's like, it's a travel and a journey, and it should evolve and grow. And that's, you know, that's how you're going to find who you are.
Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much, Andrea, for joining me. And I appreciate you so much. And all the ways to connect with Andrea are just below in the show notes. And I'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.